The question that immediately came to my mind was, whose liberties are prized? Whose rights are maintained? What does it mean to say that we prize our liberties? Does it mean that we prize them for everyone or just some? How serious are we really about maintaining our rights? What do we mean when we say our rights? When we say our rights, do we really just mean my rights and people like me? Or do we mean everyone's rights? Black Iowans question how deeply liberty is prized when they are 13 times more likely to end up in prison than white Iowans. Hispanic Iowans question the commitment to defend their liberty when they are 2.5 times more likely to end up in prison than their fellow white Iowa citizens. The nearly 22,000 Iowans who today are denied the right to vote simply on the basis of a felony conviction in the past are asking whose rights are really being maintained. Mass incarceration is more than simply a numerical phenomenon. If that is all that it was, then we would not have the huge disparities that are both a result and a cause of this dreaded sickness that is destroying our state economies, our communities, and our families. Mass incarceration is not just the staggering numbers of people whom we have tried to lock up and throw away. No, mass incarceration, as Michelle Alexander so accurately defines it, is a tightly networked collection of laws, policies, traditions, and institutions that work together to keep a group of people largely defined by race in a permanent underclass status. Like the Jim Crow of the 20th century, the root of mass incarceration lies in an attitude of mind and the mood of the human spirit that values some lives more than others. I am convinced that the core challenge in ending mass incarceration with its characteristic racial disparities is dispelling the myth that some of us are not worthy of genuine care, concern, and compassion. At the root of what ails us is this socially constructed monster that separates us called race, and the child that race bore named racism. The fact is that in the United States in general and in Iowa specifically, there is no genetic difference in what we classify here as race. If we're truly going to end mass incarceration, this insidious form of racial control, then it will be up to people of goodwill to challenge the narrative of an Iowa where some lives are more valuable than others. If we're going to live in an Iowa with healthy communities, then we need people of goodwill to refuse to believe and perpetuate the continual subtle and not so subtle suggestion that communities of color are more prone to crime simply because they are communities of color. We will work for an Iowa in which all lives matter is a rallying cry for people of goodwill to work for justice for all, not simply a dismissive response to the all too often unrealized truth that black lives do matter. How does this happen? It happens through what we say and through what we do. It happens when people of goodwill no longer tolerate the practice of public safety in which white communities are protected and served while communities of color are policed and observed.